jumping right in to Carolina Indie Fest interviews, we've got two for you today. First up is Paleface and Mo, who are playing Friday, May 12th at Hugger Mugger Brewing in downtown Sanford. Here's Fight Song off of Paleface's new album, Beyond the Bells.
An album out, Beyond the Bells, which came out in February and will be playing at Carolina Indie Fest May 12th and 13th at Hugger Mugger Brewing in downtown Sanford. This is your third time on the podcast, so welcome back, guys.
Hi, thanks for having us back.
Absolutely. I listened to the album when it came out and loved it, and spent a couple days with it again over the weekend, and really can't say enough good things about it. I think it's really awesome. Last time you were on, we talked about the process and the crowdfunding and everything you did to get it out. How does it feel to have all that behind you and have the record out and be playing these new songs live?
It feels great to be playing the songs live. That's fantastic. The other stuff, you're just on to the next one, so I'm already writing the next one. So that kind of, it's good to get it out, but it's really about playing the songs live.
Yeah.
And it's funny too, because especially for this one, because we weren't touring at all. So we weren't trying things out. Sometimes I would try a song out, but there was none of that. So we didn't know. I just made the record and then it was like, well, we'll see which ones work live, You don't really know.
Right.
So now we're starting to see, these six or seven songs really work great. And then these other ones, the time's got to be like the atmosphere or whatever has to be perfect for those,
Yeah. How has the response been so far, both to the record and to the songs being played live?
Well, people like the new ones live, right? I mean, you can feel that. So that's all musicians have these days anyways, is the live show, because the music business or whatever it's called now, you know, it's not really a thing, you know,
right.
Like selling records and that kind of thing. We did it as a special thing for people who like vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not, you know, the main business now is some weird thing. Like I laughed when I heard the story of Halsey complaining that the record company wouldn't put her music out on streaming platforms until she got a viral moment on TikTok.
Wow.
And I don't know how you know, like that's a lucky thing. You know, you can't make that up.
Yeah. It's not
like promotion, like old school promotion is like, okay, here's, you know, here's what you do. Here's what you spend. Here you hit these markets, you do, you know, contact these magazines, whatever, you know, all that kind of stuff. That's all gone. So I don't, you know, it's really about just playing live. And when the songs work live, that's great. That's what we want.
Yeah, that's hilarious, trying to force a viral TikTok moment. That's
yeah, how do you do that? Yeah. It's impossible.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. So you said you're already on to writing the next one. When you make these records, is it one of the deals where you go in with a whole bunch of songs and you whittle it down until you find the right combination? Or do you write an album, you've written the album and it's done and it's recorded? How does that work?
Now, like once in a while, I'll have an old song or something that's been kicking around, but now it's just you're making it up from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like a new thing. I don't know if we talked about this last time, but musicians now being the makers of the music as well.
Right.
Well, you know, I've made two records now. The first one, Go Forth, when I knew nothing, and then now Beyond the Bells, which I know I knew more, but now, you know, that's even something I finished a while back, so now I know even more than that, you know. And I think it's a new thing for musicians now. You have to know more, you have to know more things, you know, frequency spectrum, right? And boring stuff, you know.
We did talk about that a little bit last time, and one of the things that came to mind as soon as I started listening to the new record, and this isn't as much a sonic comparison as a production one, but the Wilco album, Yankee Hotel Foxtrot, and there was a big documentary about the making of that album.
Sure.
And yep. One of the things they talked about in there was, you know, sort of tearing writing the songs, and then once they got in the studio with them, they sort of tore them down and rebuilt mm-hmm. them. And
sure.
The listening to your record brought that to my mind, just because I hear so much going on, and I was thinking about it that way because you talked about it that way. Is that a process that you had, you know, seeing what worked on different songs and what didn't, and trying things that were maybe unexpected?
Yeah, I seem to always do that, tinker,
mm-hmm.
And explore, and you know, because it's very true. Also, the best laid plans, you know, what looks good on paper.
Sure.
Doesn't necessarily, you know, you don't know why, but it doesn't necessarily come off when you record it.
Right.
You're like, well, this doesn't, you know, why is this not working the way I thought it would, you know? So it sort of compels you into that, you know, if you have to have the energy to do it, you know? Because you think you're done. Oh, I got this great song. All I need to do is record it. And then you find out that's not, you know, there's more. It can happen, you know.
Right.
I don't know, you know. And I'm sure it happened to Wilco, because Tweedy wrote all those songs on an acoustic guitar and thought he was done.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there's five or six other guys in the band or whatever, you know. And it's, why do we do it this way? You know, all that kind of stuff comes into it.
Yeah, but it was just the two of you working together on this?
Well, I pretty much started it. I pretty much do the music.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mo will come in, and if she has some ideas for drum patterns, like I would do like a basic drum beat, you know, just on my little pad
sure.
that I have. You can tap it out now. And, you know, there's some guys who are masters at that. The electronic guys, where they just play the drums on this little keyboard pad that they have. But I just do like, I'll do like a beat, and then I'll I'll do the song and pretty much everything, and then have Mo come in and bring some life to the drums, hopefully.
Well, one thing that I noticed about this album and the one before it, it's very repetitive in a way that's almost like draws you into a trance. And I know that there's a whole genre of music that I know nothing about called trance, but I wondered if you're drawing influences from non-rock genres when you put this stuff together.
Yeah, it's partly that. It's just like I never write songs thinking, oh, I want it to sound like this or that, you know, like this band or that band, or right. You know, like, oh, I'm trying to do like a beach house kind of song, you know. I don't really do that. But what happened with this record specifically was, when I started the record, the philosophy was we're going to have two chord songs that we could loop live very easily, you know, because I have a looper pedal and I loop sounds and then play over top. And that was the original idea. So, but then I found that was exactly what you said, very repetitive, you know? So now how do you not bore the listener? And I found that that's probably not something I'm going to do again, but it was a great learning experience. I think I'll go back to using, you know, the tricks of songwriters and the trade of, you know, choruses, sure. bridges, modules, all the stuff that songwriters use. I didn't really use that on that group of songs so much. I mean, there's occasional, I think there's one song that has a modulation and that's about it.
Sure. Well, so as far as, you know, by mentioning it as repetitive, that's not a negative to me at all. That's just,
but it was the real problem.
It
was a real problem because, you know, and that type of music, when I hear that type of music, it's, there's some people that have a flair for it and they really know what they're doing. You know, like, I immediately think of Washed Out, who's a guy from Macon, Georgia, and they call him the father of chill wave. Uh-huh. And, I think he's fantastic, but he has that trans like thing, but he's so good at music that he can overcome it. But yeah, that is, you know, when you hear those artists that don't even have a B section, their music can get pretty boring. I think a lot of the top of the charts is like that.
Well, I think it absolutely works on this record. I feel like it makes you comfortable to listen to it, you know?
Yeah.
So that's,
well, you know, cool, repetitive. I mean, blues isn't blues for nothing. You know, they discovered that repetitive thing and it was like this, it works, you know, you want to get people in a groove. The James Brown band, it wasn't about, you know, chordal arrangements.
Yeah.
You know? It was, I mean, they had an arranger, this guy Pee Wee, who was fantastic, but it was a different outlook.
Sure.
For arranging music.
Well, I want to talk about Indie Fest a little bit. You guys are going to be playing it, obviously, but I think it's interesting that you now are the common thread through all of the Indie Fest. As best I can tell, you're the only band that's played all three events so far. Just kind of, it's got to be getting a little familiar to you. What are some of the things that you like about this event and that you're looking forward to seeing?
Well, we were actually, I think, one of the first bands to ever play at Hugger Mugger Brewing as well. So that's how we connected. But we're just looking forward to playing the Indie Fest again. And we have a new album, so it's something new. And we're playing Friday, May 12th, early, I think around 6 p.m. or so.
Okay.
And it's just great to, you know, meet new bands and see what else is happening. We get to play and see other music and hang out.
Yeah. I know that when you did the crowdfunding, you know, vinyl was a thing for that, for people who signed on early. Are you going to have copies of the new record at the show?
Yeah, we're definitely going to have vinyl CDs for the new album and the previous album, some of the previous albums. And we have some new t-shirts and all that merch. So we'll definitely have all that with us at the show.
I wanted to talk about a couple of the songs on the record that I felt like it's funny. They go hand in hand. They're a little, or they went hand in hand to me anyways. They, you know, Selfish Ways is, you know, it sounds like a pretty serious song, but then the very next song, kind of, it felt like it fit thematically to me, but in a funny way, Things Are Better Now That You're Gone. Was that a purposeful choice to put those songs together?
The only purposeful choice was Wait for the World and Fight Song, okay. Where I put crowd noise on Fight Song. Because Wait for the World was kind of a pandemic song where you didn't see anybody. And then Fight Song was, you know, okay, here's the audience. Here's people are together again. But those two songs, I think maybe because they're, relationship songs or whatever you want to, you know, talking about.
Selfish ways, yeah.
I mean, talking about how you react to other people. I don't know. Maybe it was just a groove thing.
Sure. Yeah. The line that really got me in Things Are Better was when you say the two plus two of it. I thought that was a good way to put it. I think you say the long and short of it, and the 2 plus 2 of it. That got me laughing. And another thing.
Well, I mean, after you say that, what more is there to say? There was probably a lot more lyrics for that song, but like sometimes it's like, well, there it is, you know,
right?
Like the meaning of this song is I'm good,
yeah,
talk to you some other time or something. I don't know, you know.
Perfect. Another thing I noticed, and this had to be a production choice, is the very end of the album, The More Things Change, The More They Stay the Same. You've got a false stop on that album, but it really, or on that song, you know, it sounds like it ends the album, but it really, really, really does sound like that's the end of the album when it comes back in and kicks in like that. I think it's really great. And it goes back to what I was saying about repetition. It comes back with that familiar thing that you've built up over the song. And I really liked it.
That's one of those loops that I did.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a repetitive loop. And, you know, how do you, you know, you got to break it up somehow.
Well, it really worked.
That was the way to break it up and then come back. That was working very well live, too.
Awesome.
People like that one.
I'm looking forward to that one, especially. That's probably my favorite one on the record.
Cool.
And, you know, it's still just the two of you live, which is awesome. I'm super impressed. And, you know, I know about looping and all that, but I'm super impressed that the two of you are able to fill up so much space and make so much sound. So that's continued.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's been done forever, you know, but I had this funny thing that I always think about. We were visiting a friend's parents, and he's a very well-established artist, and he took his son to go see Kendrick Lamar.
Mm-hmm.
And when he came back, he was saying, you know, like, this guy gets on stage and he's got no, like, I got to pay all these people, you know, like, so there is, now, you know, I mean, Post Malone is playing by himself. He's playing stadiums.
Mm-hmm.
It's really what you bring to it. You know, Grimes headlined Coachella some years back, and she had no musicians on stage at all.
Wow.
And it's whatever you can, if you can make people enjoy it and, you know, get something out of it, that's all it is now, you know. If I could afford it, I would have a bunch of musicians, but it is what it is, you know? So we loop and we have samples and all kinds of stuff. We're kind of a hybrid, you know, I really don't want to just go on stage and have nobody out there, you know, and just sing in a mic. That's really not, to me, that's not really what I want to do. So, yeah, I don't know. You know,
we're doing the most we can.
We just like whatever works with the song, you know.
Well, like,
and
I said,
live, there's even live, like, there's jamming moments, and I'm because I'm interested in that, and just things that'll happen, you know. And melodies that are different, not for the song, but for, you know, just hooks that come and go, you know, and like they're not on the record, stuff like that.
Right. Well, I'm excited to hear that then, because it's interesting to see where you'll take the songs. So do you guys want to, you know, tell everybody where they can find your music online?
Yes, you can find all of our music, tour schedule, and streaming links and everything, store at bellphaseonline.com.
Okay, excellent. Well, thank you guys so much. I appreciate your time, and I'm really looking thank forward you. To seeing you again in a couple weeks. More things change, the more they stay the same by Paleface. We're playing Carolina Indie Fest on Friday, May 12th at Hugger Mugger Brewing in downtown Sanford. Now, here's Nice Guy by Raleigh's The Pseudo Cowboys, who are headlining the first night of Carolina Indie Fest on Friday, May 12th, followed by our interview with the band's singer, Adam Pitts. We'll be right back.
want to talk to you. Tell you something you don't even care to know. Now listen. I'll get you anything you want for your birthday, baby. Plan to celebrate this occasion for a whole week. That's nice. I'm the kind of guy that wants to treat you right, but instead you've got yourself obsessed with them mean, mean, unclean bad boys. But I'm a nice guy. You heard me right. Now let me tell you something else. When you've a long hard day at work, I'm gonna rub your feet. Nice guy. I might be tired too, but I'll rub until you're satisfied. Sassify, I'll sassify your face, because I'm the kind of dude that wanna be good to you. But no luck, you're gonna got hung up on them no good, low down, strung out bad boys. Girls go so wild. Nice guys keep the bills all paid on time. I'm not saying it's right, I'm not saying it's wrong, no. Sometimes the way that it is just sugarcoat in a song. And I'm a nice guy. I do the nice guy still like. I don't take no risk, I go side to side. Keep it in time. Well, maybe I need a little spin, that never hurt nobody, right? But then the beat drops in and it's good. I start to feel it in my feet. Chord progression harmony. I start to feel it taking over me. Then I dance like a bad boy.
Joined by Adam Pitts, who is the lead singer and guitar player, if I'm not correct, of Raleigh's The Pseudo Cowboys.
You are correct. Raleigh's The Pseudo Cowboys, and it's me.
Fantastic.
I'm here in my studio coat. This keeps me warm when I'm in the basement here in our practice space slash studio.
I hear you. It's hard to keep those spaces warm sometimes, isn't it? Oh, nice.
It's still better than the old storage unit we rented for about 10 years.
Yeah, yeah. Those are no good, hot or cold.
Yeah, had to illegally heat those with a little propane heater and do the best you can until I can finish this space. So,
well, it looks nice.
Thank you.
Why don't you just dive right in and tell me the kind of the story of the Pseudo Cowboys, what you're all about and how everything got started and where you're at now.
Yeah, well, it started actually in high school as a fake band with my best friends. And my dog Buster was on the cover. We made like a fake album cover.
I love it.
And I just kind of shelved that idea for a long time because I ended up forming bands and doing cover bands with various names. But over the years, I wanted to include more of like a sense of humor in the music because everything was so serious. And after a while of really just realizing we couldn't find a place in the world, it was like, let's just be ourselves and kind of be more nerdy and dorky as we are and let that come in. So it seemed appropriate to bring in a name like the Pseudo Cowboys, which was just a joke in the beginning, because it just kind of opened up the runway to do whatever you really wanted to. Because what does that mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the sense of humor is very apparent from the stuff that you sent me. You guys are very clearly having a lot of fun, and you know, it shows in the music and it comes through in the videos. And the first thing I picked up on is that asking you to describe your band in the framework of a genre is probably going to be kind of a fruitless question because you're all over the place, but you're very good at all of it. Do you want to talk about where your musical inspiration comes from?
Yeah. I mean, I grew up listening to Queen and the Beatles. And mm-hmm. then of course I grew up in the 90s. So the bands that sort of jumped off of the 70s ethos or whatever, you know, kind of a raw, high energy rock and roll, like all that stuff really appealed to me. Like, especially the Smashing Pumpkins, they could go anywhere they wanted to because they were artists and they painted sort of sound pictures, you know, versus, I don't know, just, they were just artists with sound. Like they could explore territories. Like the Beatles White Album is insane. It goes everywhere. Yeah. Like Queen, A Day at the Races. It's just nuts. Like I admire groups that can do something like that. Smashing Pumpkins, Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness. It just goes all over the place with genre. So I feel like if you're inspired by anything, you should be able to just have that output. And that's difficult if you're trying to market a band to a specific demographic or, you know, profitable sector of the market. So I don't know. I just think we're for dorks, and I hope to, you know, link up with people that are okay with being more fluid and themselves. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's interesting. That you kind of mentioned difficult to market, and you also talked about the 90s, you know, back then everything seemed to have its place, you know, and it's that seems to have really gone away over the last 10, 12, 15 years. You know, bands are just doing their thing and they're not afraid to try something different or go where their inspiration takes them.
So, yeah, why not? I mean, like you mentioned some of the stuff that you probably watched was like maybe the Hero song or mm-hmm. the videos that, yep. that you saw to get an introduction to us. Like making that stuff and just saying this needs to be made was some of the most fun I've ever had with my friends, you know, my bandmates being friends. Like it was like, it could have been worth it. I mean, it's gotten a lot of attention and thank goodness, but like it could have been worth it just to have the fun with my buddies and see an idea through to its, you know, completion. So I don't know that in and of itself was reason enough to see it through. And I think all creation should just be like that anyway.
Right. It sounds like you're the kind of guy that regardless of whether you're in a band that's doing things, you're going to be doing this stuff anyway, just because you can't not do it.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's really cool. I'm expecting that to come through in your live performance. Do you want to talk about what the live experience is like for you guys?
Yeah. So, you know, I mentioned like the 70s rock influence and the Beatles and all that stuff. Like, I think at its core, we want to be a high energy, fun rock band that people can, you know, get that kind of heightened vibe from as we play. But we want to be allowed to, you know, go into places that wouldn't just be like one dimensional. So when we do a set, I guess we're playing like an hour at the fest. Mm-hmm. Like we really try to make sure we weave in these other things so that people get the full palette experience versus just like, it's just a rock show.
Right.
Know? So what they can expect is fun and high energy, probably, you know, not too many low moments, but, expect to be silly too. It's just like, it's got to go there.
Right.
We want everybody to feel like kids, you know, like it doesn't I mean, it's some of it is serious music, but when you're having that experience together, it's just like to just kind of let go of everything and just be silly.
How long have you been a band?
This current iteration of the band started before the pandemic, but like I said, the Pseudo Cowboys idea goes way back. our drummer, not our drummer, he was our drummer, now he's our guitar player. Yeah. He was in the band in 2015. So, you know, we're going back like over a decade.
Yeah. Yeah.
Make this roll.
And have you played mostly around Raleigh? Have you gotten out of the Triangle a whole lot? Like where is your typical touring circuit, so to speak?
Yeah, for the band, I mean, it's definitely up and down I-40 on North Carolina. You know, we've gone wherever. We haven't really gone out of the state. Personally, I just came back from the UK, got to play over there on New Year's Eve. So horizons are broadening.
Yeah.
But yeah, not with the group. It would be amazing to get over there and play. And we've actually, because of me going over there and playing, like people were like, yeah, let's get something together and try to get the Pseudo Cowboys in the UK. So,
yeah.
After all this time, it's interesting to see new things developing.
Yeah. Well, I like a band with lore. You know, it sounds like the name Pseudo Cowboys existed before, you know, this current band. I like having that element to the story, because you can go a lot of places as a band with, you mentioned it being hard to market, but if you have your own lore and you're talking about that kind of opens another door for you to define for yourself and not have to worry about somebody else doing it for you.
Yeah. And I mean, this is a cliche business strategy thing to say, and I'm not really a business guy, but you know, I understand the concept of finding your tribe, and it's weird how, because of the tools that are available now, especially through the pandemic, where, you know, we could connect virtually and do live streams and things like that, like we're able to actually find our people.
Yeah.
It sort of resonate with the humor of it. They also like the style of music and the influences. Like, you know, if we talk to our fans in the UK, I know that they like Queen and the Beatles and 90s. It's like they're in the same wheelhouse with us. It's really cool. So,
yeah. Have you done any, have you done any big festivals like this? Well, this isn't a big festival, but this is, you know, 10 bands over 2 days. Have you done a lot of this type of thing?
Yeah, some. I mean, it's been mostly Raleigh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Raleigh has a downtown festival, we've been lucky enough to be asked to do a lot of that stuff. So
very cool.
They're just awesome. My initial splash into the Raleigh scene, because I moved here in 2005, and we used to have a concert series called Bud Light Downtown Live, and they would have bands and in the park, and I was asked to do solo. I did like an acoustic one-man show in between all the acts, so that outdoor vibe with all kinds of people from, you know, all backgrounds just having a good time together, like I love that. I just actually, it's like it like got me hooked into the festival feel, so I just can't wait to do this thing.
How did y'all's involvement in Indie Fest come about?
I think we're just asked to do it. I got an email about it.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. So
I'm not 100% sure where the real link was, but
it's always a lot of fun, and the bands are always really diverse. So I think you'll enjoy that element of it.
That thrilled me to see that it was all indie North Carolina.
Yeah.
It's all North Carolina bands, right?
It's mostly North Carolina bands. There's a couple that are I want to say from the Midwest, or maybe just one. But but yeah, it is. It's a heavy focus on North Carolina, and it's really eclectic, and it's just a fun time. Which night are you guys playing? Friday or Saturday?
Friday.
Okay,
so we'll be the final band on Friday.
Okay, so headlining. Excellent. It sounds like you guys have that headliner feel. If you're talking about sneaking things into your set that aren't just the songs, but a real performance, that sounds like that'd be good energy for a headlining spot.
Yeah, we'll make it fun and interactive, and again, silly, you know, cut loose with us.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you want to talk about what releases you have, where people can find your music? Just all, you know, all that, whether it's your, you know, Facebook page or a website or whatever.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. We just put out an EP called Juke, and it's a very heavily 70s influenced rock EP. But the one that we did before that was like really Prince sounding. So,
okay.
You know, I just had these songs that happened to fall into a grouping where I wanted to put those out. So the Juke is really cool. It's just like put your fists in the air kind of rock music.
Yeah.
And it's getting a really good response. We're also doing a series of 20 songs on our Patreon.
Okay.
And we're going back and redoing some stuff that was attempted like in 2010 and 11 that had like pretty decent live instrument takes, but they weren't really flushed out because the original idea was to do like a live recording, just demo recording, give it to people. But listening to the tones, I was like, man, I really want to make those sound better. So for our Patreon patrons, it was like 20 songs being rolled out over the year. And those are turning out really good. And people are getting excited about hearing that. Cause it goes like all the way back to my earliest songwriting when I was like 15.
So okay.
it's neat to like approach it as a mature musician and bring it up to where I thought it could go, but I couldn't achieve it back then. So.
Right. Talk about the Patreon a little bit. I'm not, you know, that's kind of new to me hearing a band have a Patreon. It's kind of interesting way to get your stuff out there and be in control of it. Just, can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's wonderful. It allows people to subscribe to us basically and, you know, choose to support a band in a variety of ways. So like the way our page is set up is you can become a subscriber and say, I'll kick in $5 when you guys release a project. It's like a big project that you take pledge funds for. So ours isn't a monthly subscription, but it allows people to sort of get involved in a more communal way.
Mm-hmm.
And they get content that is in a relationship that is way different than social media. Social media is like, I feel like it's narrow in the way that you can engage people because A, there are algorithms that sort of limit what succeeds on the platform. And then also people, you know, if they're looking, they're used to seeing things at a certain rate.
Yeah.
This is more like deep dive content and a personal relationship where we communicate more. And like, we have a Discord server that we just started from the Patreon and people are jumping on there and just communicating, and they're from all over the world and it's the wildest thing. You know, so it's really helped us out with projects. If anything, just to give me the impetus to create more, like going back and re-recording all that old stuff. Cause I know there are people in the world, you know, however disparate they are, they're going to like really enjoy getting into like this content that's like exclusively there. So, Patreon is cool. It's, really changed my world. Like just opening it up to like, there are so many people in this world.
Yeah. And you mentioned, you know, the importance of finding your tribe, and it sounds like you've kind of come across a real creative way to do that. And not only find the tribe, but engage with them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cool. We do, you know, like, updates in the studio here. I have a bathroom that's the vocal booth, so I do a regular update for the patrons just to tell them generally what's going on, called the Lou Review. And then we also, you know, do a little behind the scenes, like when we make a music video, like Nice Guy or whatever, we're like capturing little things in the making process that we're only going to share with them, and it wouldn't fly on social media anyway. So it's super cool to have that relationship. It's better than an email list, you know, better than like a gajillion followers on social media, although that'd be nice, but
yeah,
it's just way more, I don't know, meaningful and intimate.
Yeah. How can people find that page? Is it just Patreon, the Pseudo Cowboys?
Yeah. Patreon.com/the Pseudo Cowboys.
Okay.
Pseudo Cowboys spelled P-S-E-U-D-O.
Yeah.
Which is an unfortunate flaw in our band name. And I wish, you know, maybe I'd never thought it was so clever, but anyway, it's what it is.
Well, you have to live with it. The name of this podcast and our news outlet is called The Rant, and that's for its own lore, but we were a radio show initially. But when we decided to start this, we thought, you know, we have a name and people know it. I don't know if it works perfectly for a news outlet, but it's the name we came with. So I get you there.
Well, I like to say, in defense of band names in general, and ours in particular, is that, you know, most band names, if you break them down, you know, it's like if you take a word and you start saying it over and over again, it doesn't sound right.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, world, you know, you can just get stuck on it and like, that's an odd word. Like, band names are like that too. They're really dumb, but the band and the ethos and the spirit, it fills it in for you. What is Led Zeppelin? You know?
Yeah.
What are the Beatles? Like,
yeah. So. That's great. Well, look, I don't want to take up too much more of your time, but one last time, if you just kind of want to plug your social media, your Patreon, whatever it is you'd like to direct people to, I'd like to give you the chance.
Yeah, fantastic. We use Instagram a lot, Instagram.com/ the Pseudo Cowboys, or at the Pseudo Cowboys, and also the Patreon. You know, if you want to check out, there may be some free posts on there that if you scroll on the Patreon feed that you'll be able to see like something that I posted for the public.
Mm-hmm.
And get an idea of the content, but a lot of them are locked unless you're subscribers. So that's patreon.com/ the Pseudo Cowboys.